Yo, Wednesday. Halfway. I don't even know if we call it halfway through the week anymore. Do we even call it that? We're talking about used car pricing almost record. Rams rev edition and Web 3. Remember Web 3?
Remember that one time where every show had something about Web 3?
We should go back and do it.
Every show, every article, every commercial was Web 3.
Period. We'll talk about it. It's not gone.
It's just undergoing. Far from it.
We'll call it a rebrand. Very far from it. It's probably more a part of your life today than it was in the past. You just don't realize it. But we'll talk about in a minute. Lots going on this week. A lot of people doing a lot of things. Got to speak with some dealers this week. I'll tell you what, man. Dealers been on the hustle.
Nonstop. They're ready to go.
Nonstop.
I'm telling you what. Yeah, every single one that I talk to is like full throttle. Here we go. And, you know, we're going to be talking a little bit about used car prices today, but it's just like everybody's back in, can't find used cars, selling lots of used cars, selling lots of vehicles. Here we go. March is ready.
It does feel like there's like a, it's hard to say that like everybody hasn't had their game face on, right? Like for the last 2 years, because everyone's showing up and we're playing, we're pivoting, we're moving. But there is like a game face mentality that I pick up, you know, talking to dealers and just perceiving what's going on that everybody realizes like, this is when we're going to find out who the championship team really is.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So, yeah. Cause there's going to be some winners and losers this year. That's for sure. Cause it's going to be a super volatile market. Yeah,
there are. Well, we're super excited to be on the ground as a SOTA with actually more dealers this year. We're traveling to multiple cities, Arlington and Atlanta and Tampa and some others, maybe even some in the West Coast, because we're trying to highlight what's going on inside dealerships with this through-line narrative of investment in people, whether inside the stores or outside the stores, and how all of that transitions or translates to better businesses, more profitable businesses, and more sustainable businesses. So a lot more about that. First stop, definitely, is in Arlington, May 5th, Arlington, Texas. Actually, we should specify that because there's an Arlington.
Not Virginia.
There's an Arlington in Virginia that has a little bit of a notoriety to it. But Arlington, Texas, outside greater Dallas-Fort Worth area. We're going to be there on April 5th. Circle the date on your calendar. We're doing an evening event. So the make it available. So like if you work in fixed ops or your tech or you have the day shift, like you can participate in an ASOTA event without going too far. Yeah. So circle the date. A lot more details coming on that shortly. Just want to put that marker out there. Also, hey, if you haven't subscribed to our email list yet, that list is growing. The open rate is soaring. People love the content.
Which means people love it.
That's right. We don't get to pick which emails you open and click on and read through every day. You get to pick that. We even have some really fun surveys and integrations that that people interact with. Like we know that people are reading it when we get the emails back and like, hey, somebody answered this poll, somebody interacted. So sign up for it at asoda.com. See if it isn't the most fun you have in the automotive industry once a day in the morning time. It's
once a day. You know.
Brian Ortega.
Speaking of having fun in the automotive industry. Stop.
Segway. Time.
Oh, this is fun. This is fun. Track with us. The used car market almost broke a record that has been in place since 2009. We're going to say almost broke a record. Remember Cash for Clunkers? You do, Kyle, right? You kind of came into the business during Cash for Clunkers, right?
You're like, last month of Cash for Clunkers. He's like, I was taking cars down to the junkyard to get them all blocked up,
mushed up, and like pour the stuff in the engine. It was a real thing, Cash for Clunkers. But that was as long ago as it was the last time we saw a month over month increase this large in the wholesale used car market. Cox Automotive's Manheim Wholesale Vehicle Used Value Index rose 4.3% from January to February. It rose 4.3%. The last time it was even close to that high was 4.4% drop. So just 0.1% higher back in 2009. So the whole year of 2022, here we just got through, only saw a month-over-month increase at all, twice, the whole entire year, May and December. That's the only time the index actually went up. Instead, it was
isn't that wild? Because like I think everyone's mindset was like it was crazy last year, right? But this is just a new thing that we're entering. And after seeing October, November, December of three straight months of significant decline, to see incline amid rising interest rates, that's a wild thing.
And not only an incline, but an almost record-setting increase.
Right.
Like, so our friend, chief economist at Cox, Jonathan Smoke, told Automotive News that seeing a consistent year of declines in 2023, like everyone was predicting, he said, it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. We've instead seen increasing wholesale prices, and I believe it's principally a reflection of how tight supply is in the used retail market, Smoke told Automotive News. Cox Automotive, again from the Automotive News article, Cox Automotive estimated the retail used vehicle supply in the U.S. was at 41 days at the end of February, down from 48 days at the end of January and 54 days at the end, same time last year. So year over year, we've gone from 54 to 41. So that's like a 20% decrease in supply on the ground. So supply is getting tight. Prices are going up. Wholesale market, you know, the retail typically will follow the wholesale curve. So that whole like, hey, things are getting more affordable. Who the heck knows what's going on? Who knows what's going to happen next?
That is, golly, you kind of like, if you're an economist or you're trying to tell the market where it's headed, you, at this point, you just throw the papers on the table and just go, well, it's going to do what it's going to do, right? And I think that this is where maybe that one, right?
Blindfolded darts.
And I think that what it tells you is that from a used car operation side of things, you have to be dialed into an every 2 week strategy. Our good friend Jason Rice always talks about this, that looking at things in a month or 45 or 60 day timeline is just not possible at this point. You have to be looking at 2 weeks over 2 weeks over 2 weeks to understand where that market move is happening so you don't get caught in wholesale or in retail.
Yeah, you're almost just kidding yourself if you think you can reprice your cars every 30 or 45 days and
crazy.
It's crazy. I mean, but look, a lot of people still operate that way and they're trying to figure it out and there's a better way. So, I mean, regardless, economists probably have the best job security of anyone in this market, right? Like, cause even if nobody knows, I'm going to think the economist's guess is the best guess that exists out there. And, you know, we didn't have this in the article, but the jobs report came out, more strong jobs. The Fed is, you know, basically, you know, analysts are like, look, they're not going to stop rising interest rates until they cause a recession, right? Like
they said faster and higher was the quote after the jobs report come out. We're going to raise rates faster and higher. So it's still coming.
In another related article that we didn't include in today's story is a Wall Street Journal article talking about how so many women, and I think appropriate, it's National Women's Day, right?
National Women's Day. Man, what are we doing?
In the office. Well, I'll tell you what we're doing. We do have a special video we're going to release.
We do.
We've been working on it for a week. Okay. So maybe today's the day. But yeah, they were like popping Beyonce out here in the office and like doing a little, it's National Women's Day. I was like, that's appropriate. It's an appropriate
artist. That's great.
But so the Wall Street Journal article was talking about how women in higher percentages are reentering the workforce, which is one of the reasons they had stepped out over the last 2 or 3 years. And now that the, you know, kind of schooling is getting back to normal and daycare is normalizing and COVID is gone, you know, as far as like affecting the work, women are coming back in droves, specifically into some like service and healthcare sectors. So that is also like a workforce that is coming back in that were like, hey, we see all these layoffs. How come we see the jobs report being so strong? It's because there had been a sidelined large group of women that had been in the workforce, stepped out, hadn't come back in, and now they're starting to come back in. So it's like,
so all that income, all the new jobs, all of the, incredible.
So another little bit of context to what's going on, all that to say, pay attention to your own operations because you can affect far more change by paying attention than you can affect what the Fed's going to do or what the index is going to do. You can't affect any of that.
There you go.
Can't affect. What are we going to do? How are we going to transition to this one? Speaking of things you can't affect.
Stop. Segue. Time.
You can never affect unless you're part of the design
OEM
team.
Is going
to
do.
No, especially when it comes to that big gap between here's the prototype and everyone's all excited, and then here's what we're actually going to give you. I feel like that gap has been closing over the years, but it doesn't seem...
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, the concept car to real car has been like squeezing in for
super
sure.
Cool. Yeah. Super cool. Like, which is great because everybody always wants the ones with the big wheels and the aggressive stance and all that. Well, Stellantis is dealing with a little bit right now. Remember that amazing EV Ram 1500 Revolution prototype we saw, right? They call it Brutiful. I was like, that's such a great term. It was Brutiful with its aggressive stance and progressive interior. Remember those controversial Super Bowl ads, Kyle? We were talking about premature electrification while Stellantis released images of their production model of the 2024 Ram 1500, and it looks a lot more like the gas version of the Ram than the prototype. At least it has a frunk. The company ordered opened pre-orders, which required $100 for a Rev Plus Insider membership. Okay, but the program was shut down a week later, citing that membership was at max capacity. No additional information was given regarding the actual number of memberships sold or if it would reopen. And get this, we don't even know what the truck costs, the exact specs of the truck. We do know that it's targeted to have a 500-mile range. It does have a frunk, but, you know, we don't know much else. So this is one of those scenarios when we look
at it. This is one of those where it's like all the things are happening, but nobody really knows what's happening, and it's still happening.
Right. It's
words still happening. That may make a sentence, but they may not. Right.
Right.
I think we're going to continue to see this as, you know, I've read a lot, especially after the Super Bowl and commercials, of just the dichotomy of having to lean into the pop culture narrative of needing to talk about EVs, but not actually having ground stock in EVs and having to sell ICE vehicles, right? As a manufacturer, how do you, you know, in the marketing department, you're like, we're going to do an EV commercial. And they're like, we ain't got any of those, you know?
Yay!
So it's a tough, I can't imagine being in that department and having to kind of like balance those two things. I continue to press on the fact that ground stock is ICE vehicles for most of these manufacturers, and then trying to figure out like how do we incentivize, how do we excite, how do we push off and give them that.
Oh man, my show is glitching out a little bit this morning. I don't know what's up with our internet.
You're all over the place.
I'm all over the
place.
It's
nuts.
It's crazy. Well, hopefully we're not all over the place on the recording. I hope you're seeing and hearing at least some of this. At least the show is recorded and we'll give you a bunch of content from it. I don't know. Sometimes the internet just breaks. Speaking of the internet breaking.
Well, when the web is messed up, you might as well just talk about Web3, right?
Well, it has been a long time since we've mentioned Web3. And if you've been with us on this show for any length of time, for like a year plus, we used to talk about Web3 and NFTs because they were such a part of the cultural conversation. Then we're kind of like, we like to nerd out a little bit over the culture and the brand side and the tech side. But we're not the only ones who have seen it go away. It doesn't mean that NFTs are gone or Web3 is gone. They're just kind of undergoing a coming of age, right? A rebrand. According to a new Ad Age article, highlighting how big brands like Nike and Starbucks are rethinking their use. I have to be honest, the reason I saw this article is because I saw the floating NFT Nike in the box. I'm like, what is that article? And then it actually ended up being relevant to a number of things. So this is according to Senior VP of Strategy at Vayner3. So that's Gary Vaynerchuk's Web3 company. It used to be called Vayner NFT. They've rebranded the company name to Vayner3. He says consumers don't care about Web3 or NFTs. They care about a more ownable, personalized, and immersive internet. So he took the concept that everyone kind of was relating around the technology, and he said, actually, people want to feel more connected and they want to be a more personalized experience. So kind of the things, Kyle, let's talk about like what got us to this point, right? Fraud. Speculation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then specifically because NFTs are backed by cryptocurrencies, if they have any sort of value, the massive decline in things like Bitcoin and ETH contributed to people just pulling back and not dipping their toes back in. And I think that what people are turning to is saying, hey, this is where we need to look at NFTs and reclassify them, talk about them differently, exercise where they're best, right? Things like smart contracts or storing things on the blockchain or giving people access to something that they may not have had access to, verified access. And I love, Avery Acanini, the president of Vayner3, also said that they're referring to these things more as digital collectibles or digital assets because they want people to, like, if you think about that, when I had to explain non-fungible token to people, right, people were like,
they were tired before I got to the actual point. Yeah. Right? That's the word right. fungible.
What does fungible
in it?
You mean?
Right.
Right. So, but me thinking, oh, I can collect something and it's digital. Boom. Immediately I'm relating that to a way that I've experienced a lot of other things. So I think that this shift is also going to potentially endear people more to the Web3 space. It will give people access to say, I'm interested in securing things or having access to other things.
Yep.
And thinking of that in the way that the internet and the digital ecosystem works. So I'm excited to kind of see how like a little bit more balanced and measured approach into it.
Yeah.
Which is a big part of what we like to talk about anyway, is a balanced, measured approach into most things. Is going to allow more people to be attracted to the Web3 space.
Pretty good timing in May. We're going to have some level of coverage from VCon, which is the premier NFT Web3 and event, live event that Gary Vaynerchuk puts on. So we're going to bring you some level of coverage from that. So it's appropriate. But I think we tie all of this back around to something we talk about all the time in automotive brand, automotive marketing, company culture within the ecosystem that automotive, and it's this, community. The real value of an NFT, the real value of a digital collectible, are people feeling like they're a part of something that is meaningful, part of something that they gives them some level of elevation personally, because I feel like, yes, I am associated with that. I'm willing to hand raise with that. Two major brands that they talk about, Starbucks and Nike, who are kind of like taking steps forward in this exclusivity community world. They're not calling it an NFT. Nike has a program called Dot Swoosh. And basically this is a community that you have to like go through the blockchain, the NFT, ecosystem to become a member, but they have 300,000 members and they have some exclusive products.
Wild.
They also are using it as a test case to see what people integrate with. So this community is actually getting a
different. Because your community is typically your early market, right? Your community is always your early adopters. So if your early adopters are in, a good chance that you get the next layer.
And right. Starbucks has something called Odyssey, which is actually kind of a little bit of a gamification that you can get discounts and rewards. You have to be participating on, kind of an NFT blockchain-based ecosystem, but they're allowing space for that, and they say they're learning a ton from these focus groups. So,
I'm sure.
Hey, like, we're not the only ones in automotive dealing with disruption and change. There's all kinds of things going on. And the point of Asoto is to how can we align ourselves, the industry, with culture to give people what they actually want. And that thing, all the time, every time, is community.